Kids, don't touch that dial, because now it's time for the Bobby Bucket Show.
Hello, readers. It's the Bobby Bucket Show with the Bucket of Books podcast, a podcast for kids, parents, and readers of all ages. We've got a really special show for you because today we're heading off to a couple of family reunions. This is show number 4, and we're spending time with two books that are about visiting with relatives. We've got The Party by Barbara Reed and The Relatives Came by Cynthia Ryland. Also, Professor Siegfried is going to get us ready for our own family reunions by teaching us some vocabulary words. And we're going to wrap it all up with a great song for when you're traveling back home after visiting the family. So get your maps out, start up the travel games, and get ready to go on a road trip. Okay, right now I'm driving in the car to visit my dad, who lives about an hour and a half away from me. Little Bucket's in the back, and she's already reading her book, and we haven't even pulled out of the driveway. I'm really lucky because my dad lives so close, so Little Bucket can see a lot of her grandfather without having to travel so far. Later on, I'll share a text-to-self connection and tell how I had to travel all night to see my grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles. And today I've got two books all about the wonders of visiting with family. The first book is The Party, and it's written and illustrated by Barbara Reed, and one of my favorite books. Reading level is ages 4 to 8. It's hardcover, 32 pages, and the publisher is Scholastic. Barbara Reed brings alive the familiar and familial experience of a family reunion in her incredible plasticine artwork, which, according to Wikipedia.org, plasticine is a putty-like modeling material. And that's what she does a lot of her artwork in her books with. And this gives incredible texture to the artwork, and it makes it jump right off the page. The story is about two sisters who are being dragged to a family reunion. At the beginning, they're nervous and they're shy and sad to be missing the time they could be playing with their friends. And when they show up, they are met with a mob of relatives, especially Aunt Joan, who wants to give them a big old kiss. And then there's the other kids that are standing around in a group, unsure of what they should do. Well, you know that won't last long. The silence is broken by a girl saying that she cut her own hair and made her mommy cry. And suddenly, bam, every kid has a story to tell about stitches, lost teeth, and split lips. And they're off and running. They're playing a game of sharks and just running all around the neighborhood. Ms. Reed really captures the feeling, and it completely brings me back to when I was a kid visiting my relatives in Maryland. And I can see so clearly us kids running around with squirt guns, hiding out under my grandparents' porch, playing hard from the minute the party started. And that's what's happening in this book. From then on in the book, we are following the kids around, jumping off of picnic tables, zipping through the crowd, hiding behind bushes, sneaking up on a sleeping relative in order to get the potato chips. Oh, wow. There's one page that I can hardly even look at. It reads, "We're spinning in circles until we get dizzy. We laugh till it hurts at the party." And the picture has been blurred, so it feels like you're spinning with the kids. You can't really even focus on it. And it makes me a little bit sick, if you want to know the truth. It's so great. And then there's the food. A big buffet of all the greatest things, just like you would find at a family reunion. There are sausage rolls, casseroles, pineapple rings, deviled eggs, chicken legs, salads with jelly, salads with beans. Enough? Let the dog lick your party plate clean. Leave room for dessert at the party. I love that page and how she goes through all that thing. And check out the picture on that page too, because the younger sister is just loading her plate up with pickles. That's all she's going to eat. Soon we see why we are at the party. It's someone's, a great-grandmother maybe, 90th birthday. All the candles and the birthday girl has been given a crown to wear, and what a cake! Okay, so they have the cake, and then bam, they're back to playing and eating cake under the table and then chasing each other some more until the worst part of the day. And it goes like this in the book. Then Ben says, "Look out!" And I signal to the others, "It's time to play hide and go seek from our mothers." Oh no, the roundup. A beautiful sunset is in the background as the moms come out and call the kids in to screams of no and tears, and the fun is all over. Until next year at the party. Oh, wow, I remember that part. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Connection.
The next book we have is called The Relatives Came by Cynthia Ryland, and it's illustrated by Stephen Gamel. The reading level is ages 4 to 8. It's in paperback and it's 32 pages. The publisher is Aladdin. This book is a perfect companion to the party, and it makes a great text-to-text connection with the party. The artwork is just as inviting, with wonderful colored pencils bringing in all the colors of summer. It's all about relatives visiting as well, but this time it's a group of relatives coming up from Virginia. They're able to visit because they're waiting for their grapes to ripen, and so they leave at 4 o'clock in the morning with crackers and soda pop and bologna sandwiches. And just like the party, when they arrive, all the family gets together and it's all the hugging and crying and more hugging. I love the page where you have to go through at least 4 different hugs to get from the kitchen to the front room. So think of the party, but this time it lasts for weeks and weeks instead of just a day. The relatives aren't choosy about where they sleep, so everyone just shares the beds. There's a great picture where bodies are just piled up on top of each other all over the place. And this makes it different to go to sleep because of all the new breathing in the house. And you see that one girl on that page is having trouble sleeping because of that. The relatives make themselves useful while they're there, fixing things, cutting hair, making music. They eat up all the strawberries and melons and promise that they'll share their grapes down in Virginia. But no one's really thinking about Virginia. But Virginia finally pulls them back. Again, at 4 in the morning, it's time to go back. Everyone goes outside to wave them off, and then they crawl back into beds that felt too big and too quiet. I love that part. First, it was different because of all the new breathing when the relatives came, and now it's different because they're gone. Both books end with the goodbye, don't they? There's the sadness at the end of each story, but also the promise of the next year, the next summer, when the party or the visit from Virginia can happen again.
Thank you. Future-self connection.
Oh yeah, do I connect with both of these books. Because when I was a kid, I was the visiting relative. You see, my extended family lived in Baltimore, Maryland. That's where I was born. We moved up to New Hampshire when I was 4 years old, and almost every year after that, we would travel down to visit my dad's family. Ah, how I love those trips. They were so long, but so worth it. We would look forward to it every year. And here's how it worked in our family. Just like in the book, the relatives came, we traveled early in the morning. The reason we did this is because there's less cars on the road, and therefore it was safer. So you see, my dad would start sleeping around 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and us kids had to be very quiet so we wouldn't wake him. He'd be upstairs sleeping. And we would get to stay up really late. Oh, I remember staying up till midnight and watching Johnny Carson on the Johnny Carson Show, and I didn't understand any of his jokes, but I laughed so hard, just so happy to be up that late like a big person. So there we were, five kids with two Weimaraner dogs, they're pretty big dogs, in the back of a station wagon. We had a mattress laid out, all the seats down. You could push the seats down in those days. And this was before the seatbelt laws. And we put the mattress there, and all the kids would be in their sleeping bags with the dogs pulled down between us. And we were supposed to go asleep, and we would leave around midnight. Well, you know, I remember waking up at times, you know, on a dark highway, cruising along, big trucks passing us. I'd see my dad driving real quiet up there, my mom in the passenger seat saying the rosary so we'd be safe. I remember one time we stopped somewhere and got hamburgers at 3 in the morning. We kids thought that was the most amazing thing that had ever happened to us. So every time around 6 o'clock in the morning, we always stopped at one of those huge rest stop restaurant places, you know, with foods in the machines and weary travelers and so many people from so many different places. And I would just get lost in looking at all the different faces and trying to read all their different stories. And then more traveling, but the kids are awake now, so there'd be some fighting. And, you know, I think out of all of us in the back, the dogs were the best behaved. And then, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Oh, we couldn't wait. And then finally, I remember pulling into my grandparents' street. My grandmom always out there first. The big hug, deep, satisfying breaths of her perfume. Everything there smelled different, sweet and pure. And then the cousins and the aunts and uncles would arrive, and the Baltimore accents would start to pull us back in. The wonderful slow drawl that would ask, "How was your trip?" And me and my sisters and brothers would delight in hearing the accent return to my mom and dad, and finally take us kids over to our native tongue, our native blood, our native home.
I will pawn you my wagon, I will pawn you my team, I will pawn you my watch and my chain. If this train runs me right, I'll be home tomorrow night. Lord, I'm 900 miles from my home, and I hate to hear that lonesome whistle blow.
Going home. When I was in Baltimore visiting my relatives, I felt like I was far away from my home. But when I got back to New Hampshire, I felt like Baltimore, with all that wonderful family, was my home. Going back after the trip can be the hardest part of the journey. There's a bit of a letdown. The traveling's harder because you're not really anticipating anything like you were on the way down. It is nice to get back to your own bed, though. This week's song kind of sums up the feeling that I've had after the journey's over. It's by a band out of Boston called Sid, and the song is called Back Home.
Another night, another room, another phone call, one more day. Another road, another sign by my window, counting miles away. I'd come back, I would come right back to your arms if I only could. So long our roads, wake me up when we're home. Wake me up when we're home. Yesterday is today, is tomorrow, the next day is the same. As I wander these miles, I wonder, should I have stayed? I would turn around, I would come right back your way. Just not today. So long, hard roads, coming back home.
Here's some questions that you and your family can talk about after you've read the books. Like, maybe if you're in a car ride going to visit your relatives. First off, do you have a family reunion that you go to? Is it at all like what you read about in either book? You know, when you're answering this, you're doing that text-to-self connection we talk about. Another question is, we know that one of the sisters is telling the story in the party. Can you tell which one? And who do you think is telling the story in the relatives' game? And the last question is, do either of these books remind you of any other book that you've ever read? There's that text-to-text connection that you're making. Well, it looks like Little Bucket has fallen asleep in the back seat, so we're going to leave the car right now and head on to my good buddy, Professor Siegfried, who's going to talk about different words that have a relation to relations.
Hello, this is Professor Siegfried. Are you going to a family reunion this summer? Would you like to knock the socks off your family members at this reunion? Well, here's how you can. With the power of vocabulary words. That's right, instead of referring to your cousin, or your uncle, or your grandfather on your father's side of the family with the usual terms of cousin, uncle, or grandfather, refer to them as your agnate, your patrikin, your patrilineal kin, your patrisib, or your patrilineal sib. Ha ha ha! Aren't you going to wow them with your words? All those words mean that they are related to you on your father's side. You can also freak out your mother's side of the family as well with words like innate, matrikin, matrilineal kin, matrisib, or matrilineal sib. Those all mean people related to you on your mother's side of the family. And here are some common family labels to help you know what they're laying on you. That person who you just spilled your Hawaiian punch all over, the one introduced to you as your second cousin, that means that they are a child of one of your cousins. And if you don't know what a cousin is, that is a child of one of your aunts or uncles. If someone says they are your kin, then that means they are related to you. If they tell you they are your kissing kin or kissing cousin, that means that they are a more or less distant relative, yet familiar enough to be greeted with a smackaroo. Words like ancestor, ancident, accident, antecedent, or root could also be used to talk about someone from whom you are descended, but usually more remote than a grandparent. And your blood relation or your blood relative is someone related to you by blood or origin, especially on sharing an ancestor with you. And if you're wondering what a sibling is, that's your sister or your brother. You know, the ones who share the car ride over with you and that you're willing to trade in for one of your cousins. For the Bobby Bucket Show, I'm Professor Siegfried.
And now it's time for Parents' Corner.
Parents, I found a great article online about how parents can foster their children's reading. I'll put a link on the website so you can read it, but I love one of the ideas it talks about for strengthening comprehension by playing a game called Question Ping Pong. Here's how you play it. You read a paragraph of a passage with your reader, then you close the book. Tell your reader to ask you a question about the passage. Then you answer it as best as you can. Then you both open the book and read a couple more paragraphs. Discuss whether the paragraphs answer the question or not. Next, you ask the child a question and he or she tries to answer it. Read a couple more paragraphs and again see if the question was answered. Continue taking turns in discussing how helpful the text was in answering the questions. This is an excellent strategy to use with nonfiction pieces. Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing about the two books, The Party by Barbara Reed and The Relatives Came by Cynthia Ryland. Go on out and check those books out of the library. Pack them up with you if you're going to travel to a family reunion. Remember, you can visit us online at bobbybucket.com. I'll put links there from things talked about in the show, as well as the music I played in the show. You can email us with book recommendations, ideas for shows, or questions at bobbybucket@gmail.com. Send us audio comments or reviews, and we can play them right on the show. If you're a musician and want to send us your PodSafe music, please do so. You can put the word PodSafe in the subject line, and it will be filtered to the correct folder. This episode of the Bobby Bucket Show is dedicated to my Baltimore relatives, but in particular to my cousin Rick, his wife Sherry, and his kids Carrie and Matthew. They put us up last year when we went back to Baltimore for a family reunion and took such loving care of us and showed us such a good time with amazing hospitality. Thank you all from the bottom of my bucket. Okay, we will see you soon, and until then, read buckets and buckets!